So, Barry, of course, the pandemic has affected campus community radio. Have you got any insight on that for me?
Yeah, well, when everything sort of hit and the lockdown started mid-March, stations really scrambled in order to be able to help and remain on the air. We were lucky enough that, to our knowledge, no stations have gone off the air and closed. A few ran into some serious technical problems, especially those on campus, who were locked out of the studios. So there had to be a very large shift in the way that the stations have been operating. So most stations had their staff work from home. They scrambled to find a remote broadcast opportunity or a way to be able to adjust their on-air schedule without being in the building. And then the big challenges turned out to capturing new programming opportunities and so on. So there's been a handful of stations that have been lucky enough to have volunteer programmers being able to produce from home. Community Radio Fund of Canada, with help from us, who put forth the idea, was able to launch a small micro grant to help radio stations across the country, all 180, get access to $2,000 for training or for equipment that could be bought so people can create programming at home. And that's been pretty successful. We also had a couple of small stations where the incredibly dedicated staff or volunteers almost moved into the station as a way to quarantine themselves there on the air to make sure everything was working and operating. So quite a unique situation and a lot of very, very dedicated people within the sector. Now that things have been changing, we're starting to see stations open up again, but very large impacts when it comes to losses in fundraising and advertising, in event planning and so on. So some of those stations have been hit really hard, and we've been lucky enough that we've worked to get some funding from the federal government to help with that beyond all of the things like the Canadian Emergency Work Subsidy and so on. So it's been a roller coaster for many stations in the last 6 months or so, but we're happy to report that listening is actually up in campus and community radio across the country, and stations are operating and doing exactly what they should be doing, and that's providing information and entertainment to their communities.
Do you find generally that people are just itching to get back into the studios and offices?
We're seeing an interesting sort of across-the-board challenge where there are a lot of people that want to get back to a routine and normality. And we're also seeing a handful of people that have said, well, you know what, actually, I like doing my show from home. I don't like to have to go into the station. Can I continue on? We also have the challenge of the fact that 90% of our volunteers across the network not having access to radio stations, and not having the equipment or the skill set to be able to produce at home, that there's been a huge dropout of volunteerism within the network. And we would not be surprised to see large numbers of volunteers not returning to radio stations, even as stations reopen.
I kind of guess that and predict that as well, judging by what I see around me. Even though restaurants or things may be open, there's also a decrease in participation, generally speaking. Has any station kind of led the way as far as getting back into their building, writing up some sort of contingency plan to protect everyone?
Yeah, there's been a handful of stations that have really gone through the reopening process. We've been providing supporting documentation around what are best practices for reopening, and there's probably between half a dozen and a dozen stations that I'm aware of that have gone back to the process where staff are back in the office and working away. Volunteers have the opportunity to come in and do their show. New protocols are put into place around feeling well or unwell, making sure that you're signing in, making sure that there's time between broadcasters to clean the rooms, change the mic, pop filters, all of these types of things. So there are a handful of stations that are closer to what you would call back to routine. But you know, nobody is quite there at that point yet, and I don't think that will be something that stations will see again. There may just not be the same type of routine there was before the start of this year.
As most stations probably depend on some form of student levy, have you got a kind of a, I don't know, a rough profile of how enrollment will go this year?
There's been discussion amongst stations on what their expectations are, as well as a bunch of news reports. Obviously, these sway between, oh, enrollment's going to be up because there are more people who don't have work, so they're trying to get some additional education and skill set while they have the opportunity. There's also the comment that, you know, many people are going to defer their next year. Either they're coming in first year or looking at saying, well, I'm not quite ready to operate remotely if the universities are doing programming or teaching all online. And some people don't want to come back to the campus as well. So although we've, again, heard reports that enrollment might be up, I'm much more expecting that the enrollment will be down between 10 to 20% across the network, and campus stations who get a student levy based on per student registration, whether full-time or part-time, are going to be impacted. And we're expecting that to happen, and we've been reminding stations that they need to plan and prepare for that. And, you know, 10%, 20%, on a student fee that could garner upwards of $300,000 or $400,000 is a lot. That's a staff or two position. That's opportunities for events, programming, which probably are not going to happen already, are going to have to be adjusted and changed. So it's a scary time not knowing what's going to happen into the fall until it happens. And it's a sort of a second go through, because this is exactly what happened with Ontario stations last year with the Student Choice Initiative. They did have this 20, 30, 40% hit on funding. And, you know, they've had to adjust and reduce as well. So it's been a rough go for those in the province, that's for sure.
Speaking of the Students' Choice Initiative, that's really hasn't gone away completely, has it?
So from what I'm aware of is there was a decision made by the courts that the process that was put into place was not done properly, and that the what had happened before the Ontario government made those changes needed to revert. I believe they've appealed to that process, and this is all something that has run its course in the middle of a pandemic, of course. And I don't believe that decision has been made yet. So there is the possibility that the CSI, which has been repealed, could be reinstated. From what we've understood in talking with the organizations that have been involved with it and others, it doesn't look like that's the case, but there's a reason you go to court to have these discussions. And whether or not the individual universities are reacting in the way that they should is also another question or challenge that is put into place. Some universities, one for example in Ontario, use the opt-out or opt-in model as opposed to the opt-out model, even though there was the opportunity and everybody else used the opt-out model. So instead of that station losing, you know, 20 or 30% of student fees, they lost 80. And that was mistakes made within the administration. Whether or not that's corrected is, again, something else that's on the plate of people who are operating clubs and services on campus with student fees. And the hope is that everything has been organized and sorted already for the upcoming fall, and that there's been communications happening between the university, the student associations, the grad associations, whoever it is that handles those processes, and the radio stations and the clubs, so everybody knows what's happening. But as a whole, it is broken down to the individual stations to do that work, because provincially and nationally, there's an expected standard, but it's not guaranteed.
You mentioned earlier that campus community radio is doing well. However, we also know that advertising revenues are down across the board, whether it be radio, print, or TV. Our funding drive is coming up. Can you give us any advice, or give me some advice, on how are we going to reach the people to make us relevant?
Well, it's interesting, because a handful of stations that have been doing funding drives, who are connected with their communities, have had quite successful funding drives. What they've done is they've gone back away from the, you know, everybody that donates over $50 gets entered into a draw for a trip to the Bahamas type thing. Some stations used to do that. This year, they're dropping the big bonus prizes, and they've gone back mostly to the comments of saying, we've had this problem. You probably noticed that there's no events that we're putting on, no sponsorship of events and programming in that sense. You've noticed that there's less advertisements on the air, but we're still here and operating. We're still the ones that you're listening to for news and information. And a lot of the community stations have had larger community support when it comes to fundraising, because the community understands those impacts. Campus stations, for the majority, we've seen many stations defer their funding drives into the fall if they had been doing it in the spring. And we're unknown of what that impact is going to have, whether it means that people are going to acknowledge and step up based on what the station is asking for and the needs of the station, or if the answer is, sorry, everybody is dealing with economic impacts and hardship, and there's just no money to go around. And that's one of the big concerns at the national level that we have, is that there is going to be a downturn in funding available to radio stations or available to community organizations because of the impacts of COVID on the federal government's budget. So do we know if various groups that have been offering larger grants that are socially based are going to be able to offer that funding or not? So there are those challenges, because we know the government of Canada is going to really have to tighten up its spending in order to readjust. And that puts questions into where things are going in the future and what access points there are. Another really interesting side note, which might only interest those in the sector, but there is a tie between the success of commercial radio and funding that goes into what's called Canadian Content Development Funds. So this is the money that revenues are generated on TV and radio stations. They have sort of like an industry fee, which the CRTC has put into place, which is called Canadian Content Development Funds. So they have to do 4% of gross revenues on the year that go back to help support the industry. If they don't do this, and it's mandated across the board, the stations or organizations look at large fines and so on, and threaten to have their license removed, etc. So a portion of those funds go towards organizations like Factor, so which is the group that helps develop artists and music. Without Factor, there would be a real impact on the community level for developing artists. And they are the ones that help make it successful for the new up-and-coming artists to record an album. And they're also the ones that make it so that your Drakes, your Biebers are successful and are exported internationally. Without that system, at least in my opinion, we'd see a much smaller music entertainment. There is funding that goes towards what's called the Community Radio Fund of Canada, which offers grants to radio stations across the country. And it, again, is tied on the funding amount that's based on what the radio stations, the commercial stations, are earning. And it is expected that those revenues, along with revenues across the board and in all entertainment and all telecoms, are going to be down. So there's just going to be less funding available for all types of programs over the next handful of years. So stations are going to have to figure out how they can adjust to make those changes so they can remain viable in operation and still serving the communities that they're trying to.
Well, we all have a lot of work to do, and hopefully we'll all get through this eventually without too much pain. And thanks so much for all the insight this morning, Barry.
Thank you. Appreciate it.